Our sermon text this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Luke 2, 1 through 20. Now hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Yahweh our God, we sing your praises, for you have done marvelous things. Your right hand and holy arm have gained the victory. You have made known to us your salvation. You have revealed your righteousness to the nations. O Lord, remember your mercy and your faithfulness to Israel. Judge the earth and the peoples with equity. Speak to us and teach us that we may be glad and make known your deeds to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Boys and girls, your words today are glory and Christmas. Glory and Christmas. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in the middle of the Christmas season, so Merry Christmas. The Advent season culminates on Christmas Eve, which is a day of joyous celebration. All that patience that you've been practicing, that you've been exhorted to practice, has paid off with the realization of God's promises in Christmas. The Christmas season is 12 days long, like the song tells us, the 12 days of Christmas. And Christmas season concludes at Epiphany, which celebrates the manifestation of the Christ child to the Gentiles. Why 12? Why 12 days of Christmas? First off, why not? Why not 12? 12 days of celebration are better than one day or even two. So stretch out the season and rejoice. Second of all, 12 may also point to the fulfillment in Jesus Christ of all the old covenant types in Israel. All of God's promises are fulfilled in Jesus. All of God's promises made to Israel are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And the 12 tribes of Israel are found in Jesus Christ, and he transforms them into the new Israel. We hear this morning of the birth of Jesus Christ, and it's another perspective on his birth this morning from Luke chapter 2. Last Lord's Day, we heard Matthew's account, which included a genealogy pertaining to the genesis of Jesus Christ. And we heard of Father Joseph's experience. This morning, Luke, in his gospel, he offered more background to the birth of Jesus in chapter 1. If you'd like, go home, if you haven't already, and read through Luke 1, of the birth of John and Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary, and all of God's promises coming to fulfillment. And you see a more expansive view of the birth of Jesus. Here in chapter 2, we read about the circumstances of Caesar Augustus's census, which brought Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem of Judea. And we hear of the Virgin Mary giving birth and wrapping baby Jesus in swaddling cloths. In Luke 2, the scene changed from the family in the manger to the shepherds in the field, watching over their flocks by night. One angel appeared to them and declared the significant event that was happening in the city. The shepherds were moved to act, and they went to see the swaddled Savior. After finding the family in the manger, the shepherds glorified and praised God for what had happened and what they had heard. And they went into Bethlehem to tell others. They came, they saw the Christ child, they were moved to glory and joy, and they departed to tell others. Many marveled at hearing their words. This is quite an amazing sequence. So in our yearly consideration of Luke 2, our reading of this text, our consideration of the birth of Jesus Christ, let us not grow cold in hearing it. The same story year after year with these same details. Because this story and the whole Christmas celebration reveals God to us. Christmas reveals God. For after all, this is God's story. Christmas is about God, first and foremost. Christmas is his work in the world, in history. For it happened when Caesar Augustus ruled, while Quirinius was governing Syria. Christmas happened in the world, in history. God glorifies himself in the Christmas story, and we are blessed by it. Christmas reveals God's self-giving. Now, we Reformed Christians, we like to focus on God's sovereignty, which is a good and glorious thing. We take comfort in God's sovereignty. What does sovereignty look like? God's control over all things, his working all the details for the glory of his name and for the good of his people. What does it look like? In the fullness of time, the Son came down from heaven for us and for our salvation. That's what sovereignty looks like. In the fullness of time, God accomplished much at Christmas. Much changed with Christmas. And for that, we celebrate with great joy. We celebrate with humility and gratitude for the God who did it. This story tells us about God. We have humility and gratitude for the Son who took the form of a servant, that he might be glorified and we might be saved. That's his sovereignty. That's his working out all the details in history and in the world. The birth narrative of Jesus Christ reveals more than a sentimental story. And the fact that he was a baby is more than a cute detail in the Christmas story. Jesus' infancy was an integral part of his path as the Savior. The detail of his infancy reveals how God works. God starts small. He moves slowly. He grows things. He himself doesn't change. He himself is not small. But his work slowly grows and develops. He takes time. And perhaps that's why the Christmas season isn't just one day or two. It's stretched out because God works over time. We go back to the beginning. Creation had a beginning. Mankind had a beginning. Both had an origin, and both continue to have a direction. Creation, develop, grow over time. Human beings develop and grow. To be transfigured from glory to glory. To mature. God is bringing creation from that unformed mass that we read about in the beginning to the glorious rest when heaven and earth will be joined together, where God will be all and in all, and he will declare it all very good. These old covenant types that we read about that feature heaven and earth joined together. We read about God's great interventions in history and in the covenant worship of him and his people joined together. Heaven and earth come together. This is also realized in the advent of the Son of God. For in his incarnation, the divine Son, co-eternal with the Father, took on human flesh. In the incarnation, we have divinity within humanity. We have the infinite in the finite. In the birth of Jesus Christ, heaven came to earth. The Son of God left his glorious throne in heaven, the throne on which he sits, where he is due perfect and unending praise. In the incarnation, Jesus humbled himself as a babe. Now, we say humbled himself as a baby. There's nothing wrong with being a baby. It's not a lower life form. It's not something to be despised. But being born as a baby points to a new beginning. The eternal Son of God took on a beginning. Jesus brought a new beginning. When people are born, we begin life as babies. We start out small and we grow. We develop and mature, just as God made the world, just as God made mankind to mature. The baby Jesus started small, but he had a trajectory. His mother wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a feeding trough. A feeding trough of animals. This wrapping in swaddling cloths is a detail that the Holy Spirit revealed twice in the birth account. We know this detail. You've heard this detail before. Boys and girls, what did Mother Mary wrap Jesus with? Swaddling cloths. Now, some essential details of being born are just assumed in this story. When Jesus was born, did they cut the umbilical cord? Probably. When Jesus was born, did Mary feed him? Yeah, probably. Can't imagine she didn't. Neither Matthew nor Luke included those details. So why did Luke, twice by the power of the Holy Spirit, include that he was wrapped in swaddling cloths? A sign of Mary's motherly love? Sure. Mothers take care of their babies. Was it a sign that that bright light shone in that dark winter evening, in the cool winter, and the swaddling cloths kept him warm? That sounds fine. After all, this is quite a glorious scene. The angels appeared to the shepherds, glory shone around them. The condescension of the angels to earth brought glory. The angels brought glory. Their singing was glorious. In the coming of the Son, Jesus, he left his heavenly glory and became a human being. Now again, that's not a bad thing to take on creation. For in the beginning, God saw all that he had made and declared it very good. Creation is not bad. Creation is fallen. The Son took on weak human flesh. But in the condescension of the Son, heaven coming to earth, the eternal Son coming as a baby, the Spirit says twice that he was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid down. Swaddled and laid. Brothers and sisters, this is condescension language. This detail that the Spirit reveals twice to us points to the gracious humility of the Son. Leaving behind his due glory, he humbled himself and came. Clothing in the Bible is a manifestation of office. It's a manifestation of calling. Boys and girls, what did Joseph wear in the book of Genesis? He wore a tunic of many colors, which was a prophetic foreshadowing of his ascension to Pharaoh's right hand. Noah's sons, Shem and Japheth, they reverently walked backward into their father's tent to cover him with his cloak of authority after Ham disgraced him. Israel's high priest was adorned with beauty and majesty in his office. Clothing manifests office and calling. And that very high priest, before he entered the Lord's holy presence on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, he removed his glory clothes, he set them aside, and he approached the Lord in humility. Now, the high priest's glory clothes were good. After all, God required of the high priest serving in his office, you wear these clothes. But to approach the Lord, that high priest, representing mankind, was to approach in humility. Set aside your glory, high priest. And this is what the Son did in his humble condescension. He set aside his glory to become man. He set aside the heavenly glory, that which he was rightly due, to come in humility. And Mary's motherly, loving act illustrated that this is what's happening. Wrapping the incarnate Son in swaddling cloths, laying him in a feeding trough. This is the Son of God in a feeding trough. All glory and honor are due to Him. You hear the angels. You see the glory around them. The Son of God. Where animals come to feed. We're going to wrap Him. Because He's a baby. We're going to place Him not on a throne, which He's due, which He's rightly due, but in a feeding trough. Brothers and sisters, the incarnation was the covering the glory of this eternal God. The incarnation was covering the glory of the eternal God. It was unapproachable light masked with a tarp in front of it. It was the blinding light of the glory cloud covered up with a blanket. Mary's swaddling showed what was happening. But the Son was on a trajectory. He didn't stay in that manger. He didn't stay wrapped in swaddling cloths. His condescension was headed in a direction. And that's why she laid Him down. That Son, His mission, later led Him to be transfigured in glory on the Mount. He was later glorified on the cross. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born a babe, finished His mission in His death as a man. In His earthly life, Jesus moved from glory to glory to glory. And where the Gospels end, Joseph of Arimathea took Him down from the cross as his mother, Mary, watched Him, along with Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary. That's how the Gospels end. Another Joseph and more Marys. But they didn't wrap His body in swaddling cloths. They wrapped His body in linen, like the high priest. And they laid His body in the tomb. The swaddled baby Jesus led to the linen-wrapped sacrifice in the tomb. Boys and girls, why did the Son of God come? He came to bring many sons to glory. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The first son, Adam, was rebellious. In pride, he reached up for glory. He reached for it too soon. It was premature glory. Pridefully seeking to be like God apart from God's good plan. That was sin. That was the fall. The divine Son left His heavenly glory, and He came down. He condescended, not in pride, but in humility, He became man. This was glory reversed. This was the opposite of what Adam did. And because of this condescending humility, we are glorified in Him. Because the incarnation was temporarily concealed glory. It was a gracious suppression for us. For Jesus had no form or comeliness, no beauty that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected. We esteemed Him not for a time. Temporary restraint on deserved glory. And this was all done to glorify the Father, that the Son would ultimately be glorified and he would bring us to glory. Because Jesus, the Son, in the form of a servant, was still the Son. He didn't cease being the Son of God. In the flesh, as a human, he grew, he matured, he received the Father's promises by faith. And because of that faithfulness, he was glorified. Jesus believed the promises. In his humility, his incarnation, in his suffering, his death, his resurrection and ascension, the Son received the promised glory. And right now, he is rightly exalted at the right hand of the Father. His temporary, set-aside glory has been fully restored. What the Son came to do has been done. It is finished. And what he has accomplished, he gives to us by his grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus. Though he was rich, he became poor for us, that through his poverty we might become rich. The promised glory that awaited the Son, he inherited. And the Father promises us glory too. We have the hope of glory. Brothers and sisters, you have the hope of glory in Christ. Mother Mary, in her pregnancy, she looked forward to what God was doing, what he promised. All generations would call her blessed. His mercy is from generation to generation. All of because who was growing in her womb? And when he was born, and those glorious things were happening, they were coming to fulfillment, she pondered them in her heart. Because the Word was in Mary. And the Word is in us too. God's promises are for us too. We look forward with the hope of glory. Yes, we are glorified in the Son right now. Yes, we have thrones in the heavenlies to commune with God right now. And right now, we wear the perishable, looking forward to being clothed with the imperishable, glorified bodies. So, brothers and sisters, in this, with the hope we have, take them by faith, take these promises by faith, and follow the Son. Walk the way of righteousness. Be transformed from glory to glory. Follow Jesus unto the more glorious. Yes, we are servants of the kingdom, but we are sons according to inheritance. So look forward to obtaining our promises as heirs. You don't have to earn them. They're yours in Christ. Take them by faith. Seek them by faith. And in the meantime, the lives we live in this world, in these perishable bodies, we live a concealed glory. 1 John 3:1-2. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. Glory concealed. The world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. We are children. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Boys and girls, what shall we be? Glorified. We know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. we're not finished. Baby Jesus, swaddled in that manger, was not finished. You're not finished right now. And just as Jesus grew in favor with God and men, we grow. We too have a trajectory. The Lord bringing us from glory to glory. We will be more glorified in the future. And now, today, this season, we rejoice in God's glorious plan. In the Son's gracious condescension. Rejoice! Glory to God in highest. Faithfully walk in the Lord's ways. When we come to worship, climb that mountain. Worship in holy fear. Praise God's glory in song. And like the shepherds, descend with great joy. Marvel at what God has made known to you, what He's revealed to you, what He's done for you. And make it known that Jesus Christ is Lord. Brothers and sisters, every Lord's Day is Christmas. Boys and girls, do you like Christmas? Every Lord's Day is Christmas. Remember this. Ponder them in your heart. Because our joy in Christ pushes us through the difficult times, pushes us through our afflictions. Jesus pushed through the suffering and death unto resurrection and glorification. Live with that hope of glory. For if you're in a trial, if you feel like you're in a lowly manger and the animals are crowding around you, remember that this light, momentary affliction is preparing for you an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The Christmas message, brothers and sisters, love and glorify Christ for His humility and love. Be humble, be faithful, look forward with hope, and live with joy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who has poured upon us the new light of Thine incarnate Word, grant that the same light, enkindled in our hearts, may shine forth in our lives. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with Thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.